Welcome back to the program. As mentioned earlier, Tom Harley, Sydney Swans CEO, is going to have a chat to us. He's been good enough to jump on the phone now, so let's go straight to him. Tom, it's been a bizarre 48 hours, bizarre week for you, but that's the world we live in right now. Firstly, welcome to the program. Great to have you back.
No, thanks very much, Dwayne. I've got to admit, 36 hours ago, it felt very 2020 when we're having to pack things up and move things around. But as you say, it is the lay of the land at the moment, and we've all arrived very safely and COVID-free in Melbourne last night and ready to take on the D's Saturday night at the gym, which is a great opportunity for us.
So no new cases in New South Wales today, but the assistants who weren't allowed to fly down still not allowed to come.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, as it stands right now, so the three assistants, Dan Cox, Jared McVeigh and Don Pike, we're at the exposure site, the Azure Cafe, which is, for all intents and purposes, almost like a club cafe. It's the closest cafe to the facility of the SCG. And they were there within the time frame of 12:30 to 1. So very much working with and following the advice of New South Wales government. They've tested negative. Victorian government states that anyone who was at those exposure sites would have to quarantine for 14 days, and that hasn't changed. So they're still in Sydney, and we're planning for them to stay in Sydney, and we'll be without them at the MCG on Saturday night.
So three short in the coach's box. How much does that knock you around?
Oh, look, I think it's... I mean, no one would begrudge us for saying that it's suboptimal, clearly. As much on the, I guess, the personal relations and interactions that the players have with the assistant coaches, I think that's something that... or a part of the game that a lot of people don't fully understand. But look, we're still working through exactly what it looks like, what role, if any, they can play in Sydney, what the box-to-bench communications is at the MCG, which other football staff that we have in our department can straddle up and play a different role. I've put my hand up, Dwayne, very high to get in amongst them.
Good.
I'm not quite sure whether I'll be doing that, but... Look, it's you know, we'll do the best we can, and we're extremely fine. I mean, John Longmire's a fantastic coach. He led our club magnificently through last year, and we're seeing this as an opportunity to test ourselves against the very best in unique circumstances.
I'm hearing you might upgrade some personnel into those roles that have been around. If you upgrade your runner, will you run then?
I went for a run this morning around the tan with Charlie Gardner, just in case. I will say, I'm on the ready. I'm sitting on the bench ready to go, mate. I do get very excited about football. It's been a while since I've been in the cut and thrust of it. But in all seriousness, it'll be all hands on deck. And we do have some really good football people who are performing other roles. Brett Kirk's our head of wellbeing, and he's the runner on match day. There's an option to feed into the program. Our VFL program has been postponed, and so Jeremy Laidler, who's been our VFL coach, he's available to lend a hand as well. So, as I say, suboptimal, but we'll be going in with an optimistic mindset.
So what are the rules about having assistance from another state on Zoom or on phone, Tom?
Yeah, working through all of that at the moment, Dwayne. I did a press call this morning, and I probably played a pretty straight bat. That's only because we haven't exhausted exactly what we can do. We're working very closely with Steve Hocking and Rob Old in particular from the AFL around, I guess, what is possible and then what we may need to work through from a tech point of view. And as I say, what we are really clear that we can't get is that clearly the face-to-face interactions with the players via the assistant coaches. So we've got, let's say we've got 24 hours to work all that out, and we'll be working with who we need to give ourselves the best chance.
So at the moment, you couldn't have Dean Cox talk to Tom Hickey on a phone at quarter time or on a Zoom call at quarter time. That wouldn't be allowed as it stands right now.
Look, we haven't even got to that stage whether that's allowed or not.
Yeah,
we're really just working through some options, and we'll collaborate with the AFL as required.
Selection, Buddy, Rampy, what's the latest there? If you can tell us, I know we're still a few hours away from time, but is there good news coming?
Yeah, they're tracking well. They've done what was required. We've got, a final assessment of the list. They've had a light run this morning. I've been tied up with a few other things, Dwayne, so I haven't been across that, but I've ticked the boxes up until this point. And with all things being equal and they come back in to have some of those really experienced senior players in a round, and obviously different circumstances would be important, and we clearly walk taller if those two players are up in amongst it.
Tom, great to have Tom Harley, Sydney Swans CEO, with us. Tom, long-term contracts have been in the news this week. You've got one that you would think was highly successful, and I do agree it has been highly successful. Would you do it again, given what you know now with Lance and what does tend to look like it's coming back into vogue?
Yeah, look, I mean, the Lance one was before my time at the Swans, and I'm in fierce agreement with you there, Dwayne. He's been a phenomenon for us. First and foremost, on the field, or what he's been able to produce, and he's had his injury concerns over the past 12 months, but the three games he's played this year, he's averaging just shy of 4 goals a game as a 34-year-old. So I think to answer that, it is horses for courses a bit. A lot of it depends on where you are in the cycle. I think the way the competition's structured at the moment, when you're right in that window, you go all in to make sure that you retain the players that you can, and you probably structure your contracts accordingly. So, we've got Lance coming off at the end of next year. We haven't really embarked on any long-term contracts since. But that's not to say that we wouldn't.
Is it weird that the biggest club in Australia doesn't have a women's team?
Look, we are absolutely committed to getting into the AFLW as soon as possible, and we've expressed that to the AFL. At the time when the women's licence was first issued, we weren't in a position, primarily centering around facilities. We're very, very keen to rectify that in the next 12 to 14 months. And obviously the talent pathway too is another piece, but with the emergence of the AFLW competition, female participation and talent's grown extraordinarily in Sydney. And I'll be honest, Dwayne, I'm a huge supporter of AFLW and the women's program, but I probably underestimated the significant impact our Youth Girl Academy has had on our club. We compete at under 17 and under 19 level, and it's been a huge, huge part of our club. And to be fair, right now, seeing all the other clubs, or 14 of the other clubs with programs, feels like we're missing out there, and I think for that, and also just the fact that it's certainly matching our aspirations to being a full club, we'll be putting our hand up very high for the next round of licences.
The Paddy McCartan outcome, fair, do you think?
Oh, look, I think Paddy was clearly extremely remorseful. He owned up to his actions, and I think it landed in around the right spot with the 5 weeks. So, really disappointing for Paddy. He's disappointed in his own actions. We'll support him from this point in. But I think, yes, Dwayne, I think in short, around about the right mark.
And you've been a leader as a player, Tom, and a leader as a CEO now. How much of Frank Costa is in your methodology?
Yeah, a lot. That actually knocked me around a bit on Sunday, and Swans obviously playing the Cats on the Saturday night, very close still with Brian Cook, but Frank transcended the footy club, and I think vicariously we were all impacted. What I really loved about the tributes, Dwayne, and Frank, is that everyone was very consistent in their response. They spoke about his commitment to his family, his faith and his footy club. And then the second comment they made was he was always a character first, talent second. And the fact that everyone said that about Frank speaks to how consistent he was with the way he lived his life. And he had a huge impact on me, as I say, probably unknowingly in the early parts of my career, but certainly later on when I was able to spend some time with Frank and really understand what he was doing. So the world's worse off without Frank, and I'm sure that the state funeral will be a fitting tribute to one of the best men I've ever met.
Yeah, nicely said. One of the most amazing men I've ever met as well. I've got to ask you, Tom, after the game, what's the protocol? So do you know what that is yet? You fly straight home. What are you doing after the game?
No, we're fully expecting to fly straight home. on the Sunday morning is what we've got booked in at this stage on a chartered flight. The New South Wales government, Dwayne, have been fantastic in the way they've managed the pandemic since May last year. And with no new cases today, that's a positive, and fully expect to fly home, prepare next week to take on the Pies at the SCG.
Great stuff, Tom. I really appreciate you jumping on the phone when you had a spare couple of minutes. We'll talk soon.
Thanks very much, Dwayne. All the best.
Tom Harley, Sydney Swans CEO, Melbourne v Sydney tomorrow night, MCG, first versus fourth on the 40 Winks ladder. Any size mattress is the price of a single at 40 Winks.